community should have leverage to be able to get what they're asking for. At the end of the day, they're the customer. And if they're being provided a product that's not in line with their values, they should be able to have the leverage to demand something better. And if the energy company doesn't provide it, then they should be able to have the leverage to municipalize.
Last November, citizens in Boulder, Colorado had a huge victory in the pursuit of a city-owned utility when they defeated the incumbent monopoly electric utility, Xcel Energy, at the ballot box. They were outspent 2-1, but defeated the utility's poison pill ballot measure by a 2-1 margin. To share how they won in Boulder, I'm joined this week by Steve Fenberg of New Era Colorado to learn how a powerful local grassroots campaign is giving Boulder a brighter energy future. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion.
Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, John. I really appreciate it.
So, Steve, you had this great success here in 2013, and does this mean that the war for Boulder's energy future is over?
I wish I could say it was. You know, if there's one thing we learned from this whole fight and this whole process is that it's a long game. And we did just win a pretty remarkable election. But, you know, in a lot of ways, we won that exact same election, albeit by a more narrow margin, once before in 2011, which is the first time this issue was actually on the ballot. And this past election was actually just Xcel trying to take back the victory that we already won. So, you know, in a lot of ways, the electoral side of it has already gone on for much longer than we expected. And there's no saying that there won't be another electoral fight. We're pretty sure that we sort of nipped it in the bud in a lot of ways and that we had such a solid victory and an overwhelming response that it wouldn't be wise to have Xcel go to the ballot again to try to have voters vote on it again. But there's no saying that they won't do it. And then on the policy front, in the actual implementation of creating our municipal utility, that piece of the fight has just begun. And the city starting condemnation proceedings in January of 2014. So once that gets rolling, you know, we're not sure exactly how long it'll take, but it definitely could take a couple of years before we're actually able to officially pull the trigger and create the utility of our own. So no, it's definitely far from over, and it'll be a long process, and we're going to learn a lot of things along the way. And, you know, hopefully the community will be very involved in shaping what our energy future looks like. And at the end of the day, we'll have something that we can be proud of here in Boulder, but also something that other communities can learn from.
Now, you mentioned the 2011 fight at the ballot box. And in that year, the citizens of Boulder passed a ballot measure, which really kicked off this formal exploration of a city-owned municipal utility. But the victory was, as you said, by a much narrower margin, although it's worth pointing out you were still outspent by Xcel 10-1 or more. Now, this time around, you had $200,000 from a remarkable crowdfunding campaign. Was money the only difference?
It did make a difference, absolutely. I mean, it's always good to have the resources that you need to get your message out there. But it wasn't the only difference. The money helps to have the resources to spend, but the visibility and the megaphone that we had because of that campaign, in a lot of ways, was the most important part. So it wasn't the only difference, although it did help. You know, we had more organizers on the ground. We knocked on more doors. We made more phone calls to voters, partially because of those resources. But, you know, in politics, you can either run a campaign with money or you can run it with people. And although we had more resources this time around than we did last time, at the end of the day, the core of our campaign was people. And it was volunteers that came out of the woodwork and, you know, been with our organization for a while, people we've never met, and they saw our video on the crowdfunding effort and walked in our doors and wanted to see what they could do to help. We had hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that were just there for the right reason. They were there because they're passionate about clean energy. They're passionate about local control. They're passionate about making sure a corporation wasn't buying our elections in our local community. And that was really what made the difference, was people being here and doing the hard work every day for the right reasons. And on the other side, our opposition and other campaigns that you see, sometimes we'll have people, but they're not always there for the right reasons. They collected a lot of signatures to get on the ballot, and that took a lot of people, but almost every single one of them was paid 50 cents a signature. And at the end of the day, that's why they were there. So I think the success of our campaign is completely owed to the really passionate volunteers and people that put in the hard work that not just happened this year, but happened over the course of probably almost a decade that got us to the point that we are right now. And that's what really made the difference at the end of the day.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say that there's some credit might be due to the fact that you guys had golf carts that you used to actually get people to the polls.
We got to a point towards election day where we didn't know what else we could try. So we just started trying weird things. You know, I mean, we did everything that we could in a campaign. We were calling voters. We were knocking on their doors. We were sending them some mail pieces that explained the issue. We were even on TV, which was a first for us as a grassroots nonprofit organization. But we were lucky enough to have some professional filmmakers make a TV spot. So we did everything. We did all the like formal and official things that you do on a campaign to get your message out there. But then we also tried the kind of weird off the wall things. And yeah, as you said, the last couple of days we're an all male ballot state. So people actually were voting for about 3 weeks or so. And towards the end, we knew we needed an extra push to get especially young people to the polls that hadn't turned in their ballots yet. And so we rented some golf carts on the CU Boulder campus, which was about 30,000 students, and most of them were eligible to vote on this issue. So we had golf carts that made it super easy, and we got students on the golf carts and drove them to the on-campus polling center so they could make their voice heard on the issue. And we probably brought in like maybe 1,000 votes just from that funny tactic, but it worked. And that's the fun thing about campaigns like this is you can just try things and see what works and see what doesn't work, and you learn for next time.
Now, in the recap video that after the successful passage or defeat, I should say, of the ballot measure, you note that Boulder is, quote, setting a model for the rest of the country. And I also talked recently in a podcast with Ken Riegelson from Boulder, who helped doing a lot of the citizen modeling about how much renewable energy could be produced by a city-owned utility and the opportunity. Now, what's the most important lesson that you can share with other cities that are considering pursuing a municipal utility that is focused on clean energy?
Well, the most important lesson I would say is that you pursue something that works for your community. So, you know, in a lot of ways, we see this as an opportunity to create a model for other communities, but it's not that we're hoping to create a model that's a one-size-fits-all and can work everywhere, because everyone's state laws are different around this kind of stuff. Some have different regulations in terms of, like, who's allowed to provide them power or if the city's even allowed to municipalize and what the process is it'll take to do that. So it's going to be a little different everywhere. So the important part is that you have a process where the community is bought in and the community is thinking about what needs to happen in their local community to create a more cleaner energy supply. And, you know, I will say municipalization might not be the answer for everybody. It could be an answer for a lot of communities, but our goal really is to make sure that not everybody municipalizes, but that there's the threat that everybody could municipalize. Communities should have leverage to be able to get what they're asking for. At the end of the day, they're the customer. And if they're being provided a product that's not in line with their values, they should be able to have the leverage to demand something better. And if the energy company doesn't provide it, then they should be able to have the leverage to municipalize or to do something to go it alone or to go with another company or something like that. So that, in a lot of ways, that was what we were after. And I think that's something that communities can learn from, is that they can ask for big things that are in line with their values and expect an energy company to respond. And if they don't, there are paths that you can take to get closer to those goals.
Have you talked with folks in other cities, or, you know, are there people that have reached out to you having seen what's happening in Boulder?
We have, yeah, especially when our crowdfunding campaign was sort of at its height. I mean, we had thousands of people getting in touch with us, to be honest, calling us, emailing us. People from all over were reaching out asking what they can do in their community. And it really was from all over. It was from conservative towns, progressive towns, West Coast, East Coast, middle of the country. It was really exciting to see people are hungry for a solution. And we're not getting that solution from the federal government right now. In a lot of ways, people feel like their hands are tied on a local level. And so people were excited, and it gave them hope that there actually are things you can do on a local level that can have a big impact, not only for your community, but could set an example for other communities as well. So yeah, many cities were reaching out to us, whether it was in Arizona, in the South. I think we even had a couple of places reaching out to us that were excited about this, several places on the East Coast, and, you know, other communities in Colorado as well. A couple of our neighbors are actually starting to look into this, and it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, but having this conversation get started, and especially if it can get started in more than one place and it tips off the energy companies that this is something they have to think about, is that communities actually want cleaner energy supply, then maybe they'll start thinking more critically about their business model and what products they're providing the community.
You had a terrific campaign. The crowdfunding campaign in particular caught so much interest. It went viral. There's an enormous amount of attention being paid to this election and the ballot measure. You won big. How do people stay in touch now that that particular part is over and stay informed with what's going to be happening in Boulder as the city moves forward with this locally owned utility?
Yeah. So on a local level, we're going to be doing some things with community partners and with the city itself to make sure that folks in the community are very much staying in touch and aware of the progress and what's happening on the ground in Boulder. When you stop talking to the community about progress on the goals that as a community decided we wanted to pursue, I think that's when it creates an opening for a company like Excel to start messing with the process. If people are not informed and not aware of all of the great work that's actually happening to get us to a more cleaner energy future. So we're going to be doing some events and a lot of outreach here in the community locally. For people that are outside of Boulder, they can definitely stay in touch with us as an organization. We're going to have a lot of outreach stuff and a lot of the information on what's happening on our website at newerracolorado.org, on our Facebook page, which is just New Era Colorado. And then the city also has great resources. They've set up a website. It has pretty much everything you could want on this process. And it's, I believe it's BoulderEnergyFuture.com. They lay out the wonky, nerdy stuff about the model, if that's what someone's interested in, and seeing how we did it and how they can apply some of those models and thinking for their community. There's information about sort of the public process and how the community is involved in decision-making. There's information on there about what the city is doing on the legal front and what the negotiations are like and what are the next steps with condemnation and what different court processes we're going to have to be going through. So there's a lot of information that's available if someone's interested in finding it through the city's website as well.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And of course, congratulations on your tremendous success in November.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it.
That was John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Democratic Energy, speaking with Stephen Fenberg, Executive Director of New Era Colorado in December 2013. You can read more about Boulder, Colorado's efforts to take control of its energy future at ILSR.org or the home of the local energy campaign at cleanenergyaction.org. Until next time, keep your energy local. And thanks for listening.